was it work that you enjoyed? I mean, did you enjoy your work there?
There was great, great teamwork within the office and the mill. Everybody cooperated with each other, and there was good social activity as well. There was a football tournament in the summer, and there would be social staff party at Christmas, and then there was a golf later on. There was a golf social, what do you call them, a group that go play golf,
pitch and putt.
No, they were the real thing. These guys, it's the real thing. No, there was a golf group. I forget the word for it. And they went on outings. We were all over Leinster. We were in every golf. No, I wasn't a great golfer myself, but I went along and joined them. Got a handicap of 36. So I didn't win anything. And, but it was good to go and join the group, you know.
And how many workers there? It was up to 600, was it?
Oh, there was, yeah, that would be an average. But it rose now later on when the paper mill acquired several other companies. They acquired Bailey Gibson, and they acquired Dublin Print and Paper, and Cahill's Printers on the north side, and Guys of Cork. And I used to do the payroll for the whole group. The numbers would have been up at 1600 to 1800 at that stage between all the companies, you know. And I worked in Cork for a week, but all the payroll came through us in Clondalkin. It was all computerised in our computer office.
All right, yeah. But, I mean, did you find, though, that the social part of it made work more pleasant, say, that, well, you did, know, these outings and gatherings and...
Well, it did help. Everybody knew each other, and they probably met socially after hours as well.
Yeah.
And many of them married from within the staff. You were speaking to somebody there last week, Mary Curtin and Danny Curtin, who got married. And when we spoke to them that day, we were also with Mary Minahan, who met her husband, Pat Barry, who was a driver for her father and uncle. And when we got talking that day, we were with them, she went through a list, and the list was 20 by the time we left, of people we knew within the office structure who had married.
Yeah.
So you can see there was great interaction.
What about yourself? Did you?
No, my wife was from Clondalkin, and I did. She never worked in the mill. She worked in the grocery shop in the main street, O'Reilly's, which was the only grocery shop in Clondalkin in the 50s and the 60s, before any supermarket or any other shop opened. There was only one grocery shop in Clondalkin, one chemist, Mr. Fryan. And, well, there was two pubs.
And the mills was the life and soul of the place.
It was, yeah, it was. The mill was the life and soul of the place, there's no doubt about it. Everything happened. There were so many families from Clondalkin who had people working there. But as well as that, the people came from Sagard, Rathcoole, Talla, Bona Brina, Inchicore, Ballyfermot, the whole ring, Luke and Palmerstown, Newcastle. The whole ring around Clondalkin was the centre of that work, those workers who came to Clondalkin paper mills over the years. And then in the 60s, there was a project done, I think it was in the late 60s, to build a big warehouse down at the other end of the factory. And the mill took on a building squad, a separate squad from those guys who were there already. And there would be new extra carpenters, electricians, plasterers, and all other tradesmen and labourers, of course. And that would have upped the number of employees by at least another 100 or more.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of them were let go afterwards when the project was finished, but some of them were absorbed into the paper mill. I think Michael Devitt might have been the project manager of some of those buildings.
Yes.
You spoke to him already.
Yes. And did you find, though, that the mills were... that it was such a large complex of buildings that maybe you didn't know the people who were working down at the other end? Or?
Well, I did because I was in the payroll office, and I, as I said to you earlier,
you
I
had
walked
to go
every
around,
Friday,
yes.
And I was in all sorts of corners looking for people where they were working. So in that regard, I knew every inch of the place. You know, I had to go to every office on a Friday with the payroll. So I knew everywhere. I knew all the huts and the places where people had their restrooms. Some people would have a restroom because of the noise, and they would have a restroom where they'd go in and have their break.
Yeah,
from it was very noisy atmosphere now in the paper mill. You know,
what do you remember about it in it that would be different, say, from working in a that kind of factory environment today? I mean, was there?
Well, I suppose the
was
scale...
Was it industrial in its sense, in a sense?
Well, the scale of the operation is massive. People don't realise the size of the paper machines. You've seen some photographs there of the machines, how wide they are, how long they are. And they were manned by people all along the line who had a function to do. And they had to be alert. If there was a break in the paper, they had to react, and you got that from some of the people.
But for example, were there more bodies on the floor then? I mean, was there employees everywhere?
It was a hive of activity. When you think of, in purchasing, just in the offices, the scale of purchasing, there was 5 or 6 people there. Up in the drawing office, you had another, maybe 10 or 15. In the stores, there was 5 people. And in each of the accounts departments, accounts payable and accounts received, there'd be 4 or 5 people in each of them. So the scale of the operation is a lot bigger than people know about, you know.
So that would be one big difference between today and in those days.
It would be, yeah. And then the computerisation, that brought a new era into the mill. As you know, the computer came in the mid-60s, 66, and it was one of the few computers that were in Ireland in any other company. I believe only Aer Lingus, Guinness, Borden and Mona, and I can't remember the other one.
But that
there were only 5, so yes. It was unique. Yeah. And it was a great leap forward for the mill to go in that direction.
But was it a leap backwards for redundancy? People
It wasn't.
Really?
It wasn't.
You know, people would have... spent a lot of time in the cataloguing and
a lot of the people who were staffing the computer had worked in different offices in the mill within the mill, and they were brought into the computer section and trained up because it was a new. You didn't have to have any experience; you have to be trained. So we were starting with a bare sheet, for want of a better word, and we trained our own people.
Was it a learning curve for you when you saw a computer?
It was for me because we had to change over our method of working.
So remembering numbers wasn't that important anymore.
It was vital. Numbers was vital. It's just that the procedure for calculating the pay was done differently, whereas there were different the newer machines. It was done with punch cards. The information from the clock cards, which was the number of hours that the guys worked, was put onto cards, and then it was processed and sorted, and then was fed into the computer, into a program which calculated the pay, because their hours of rates and all.
Were you doing that?
No. We just handed the material up, and then we got back the finished product. They were a separate body.
Okay, you got the final figure that...
Oh, yeah, we got the final, the payroll. We had to get the money then, you know, we would have to make up the bottom line, and it had to be, the money had to be in the exact amount of currency, 20, 10s, 5s, tokens and all that. That was all laid out. The number of notes, tenors, fivers. That was all analysed first.
Yes, of course. You went through currency changes too.
So then when you filled the envelopes, you shouldn't have anything left. or you shouldn't be sure.
Yes.
You had to fill 500 or 600 envelopes manually with this bundle of money. So this bundle of money had to be the exact amount that went into 600 envelopes. So if a guy was, say, £30, I don't know the whole currency.
Well, it would have to be exact. Let me remind you. It would have to be exact notes. It's pound shillings. It's
in pound shillings and pence.
Yeah.
You put the exact amount into each envelope naturally.
Yes.
And at the end of the last envelope, you would have nothing left, and you should have had enough to go into the last envelope.
It's extraordinary.
You got the exact amount of money. Yeah.
Those days, you had, I mean, the money was seemed to be much bigger as well. You had £20. Well, yeah. 50. You'd
no,
rarely
we only
see
worked
a 50
in 20s. 20s was the highest we worked in.
So 20s, 10s.
20, 10s, 5s, and then the.
Pounds.
And then
10 shillings.
10 shillings, yeah. And then whatever coinage was due.
Yeah.
Again, it had to be made up.
And did you have 5 shilling piece or?
I can't remember the currency, but there were half crowns. And,
yes.
As well as the 2 and 6.
The decimal officer as well in 1970 when we changed over. Decimalisation officer.
So we changed over to the currency then. You know.
And so what did that entail then?
That was just new money, that's all.
Yes.
That's all. We had to change all the invoicing and everything.
But it was cheques at that stage, was it? Was it cheques? You were paying.
Oh, we were paying the checks. Yeah, we switched over to checks after the robbery.
Yeah,
which was great.
What was the date of that robbery?
I can't remember. It's something we should investigate now.
Yeah,
from some of the memorabilia that the employees have handed in, we might have some memory of it.
Yeah,
that's a question we should ask some of the boys, some of them who would have been there.